It is very uncommon for me to speak on the subject we will be looking at this morning. For 2 days now, the Lord has been dealing with me about being more outspoken about a particular subject. God's word clearly indicates that we are not to allow the salt of His expressed will to lose its savor, nor let the light that we walk in be hidden by not speaking out. We all need to become vocal in exposing corruption, deceit, and immoral standards, because the enemy's ploy is to silence the voice of God's people under the guise of political correctness. In 2 Corinthians 2:17 in the Passion Translation, we read, "For unlike so many, we are not peddlers of God's word who water down the message. We are those sent from God with pure motives who speak in the sight of God from our union with Christ." But also in the footnote, Brian Simmons says, Paul states that his ministry of teaching and preaching happened while he was in the presence of God. So his eyes were set on God and not on the people's response. And in the New Testament gospel preached by Paul, there is a refusal to water down the word of God. So I've chosen to title today's message, "Are We Silent About the Swamp?" Many in the church have become complacent toward the atrocities going on in society and the immoral laws passed in many politicians in our governments around the world. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 34, "Salt is good, but if salt has lost its flavor," or savor in some translations, "how shall it be seasoned?" In verse 35, "It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out." The Spanish version says, "men will trample on it." So he that hath an ear, let him hear. The Holy Spirit is calling to people who have a willingness to hear what God wants to say and take God's side of the matter. I've been challenged in the last few days to be a voice for righteousness and to not hide in small communities the truth of God that needs so badly to come about. There's been an onslaught of Satan, and I could mention this probably as the first note that I would like to make, is that in the verse that was quoted to us by a child this morning was the will of God for us today. For in Ephesians 6, verse 11, God is asking His people to arm themselves again and put on this armor, both defensive and offensive. The army that comes of God to defeat the tactics, the wiles, the devices, and as Spanish says, the insidious plans of the devil. And as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. I'd like to just mention one of the first devices of the devil that I am so keenly aware of anymore in my life is that the enemy has caused us to be muzzled by a philosophy of political correctness. We've all been gagged and muzzled, our voice silenced if possible, through what the devil cleverly devised as a plan of political correctness. You don't say things that God says in His Word because it could offend somebody. You don't talk about homosexuality, you don't talk about sin, you don't talk about perverseness, you don't talk about wickedness in any way because it could hurt somebody's feelings. Political correctness is a device of the devil, and if God says that we know the devices of the devil, then we need to know them. We need to know what we are to declare. You can't declare what you first don't know. And there's millions of Christians around the world that are very deceived when it comes to this device of the devil, which they do not know is a device of the devil to silence us in our preaching. Imagine if political correctness would fit with Elijah. Imagine if it would fit with John the Baptist. Imagine with some of the men and women of God in history that walked in power and authority with God should have bowed in their heart to political correctness. If they were not to hurt people's feelings, then what they're basically doing is judging them to an eternal death so that their feelings and their body and their soul and their spirit burns in hell forever. God filled us with His Spirit and made us His child to become witnesses to Jesus Christ. God wants us to speak the truth without worrying about being politically correct or judged for being that because I want to be accepted in society. I don't need to be accepted as long as I'm accepted by my Father in heaven. I don't care if my father on earth rejects me, my mother on earth rejects me, my brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts and brothers and fathers, even wives or husbands reject me. I belong to the family of God. I am a child of God. I belong to the DNA of heaven. He is my family. I am His family. Everybody that makes that same choice of belief and trust in God is His family. And we are not in this to be politically correct. That is a device of the devil that muzzles us and shuts our mouth down and stops us from preaching the truth that needs to be preached so people will be saved. We need to speak that which is truth. Even if that truth hurts, the fact that truth can be taught and given in love doesn't mean that it's lovely. Truth isn't always lovely, but real truth is full of love. Because when Jesus spoke the truth, they said, "We've never heard words that were so beautiful come out of any lips." They looked upon him and said, "His lips were full of grace." No, he wasn't. They were telling him a bunch of whited sepulchers and a bunch of devils like serpents on the ground. Not everything that came out of his mouth was sweet, but it was true. And he did speak it in love. In other words, his motive for saying those things was to shake him up and get him to accept Jesus. Get him to come to the truth. Get him to run from the land of destruction and embrace the land of light and glory and hope and faith and love and mercy forever and ever. It's like a surgeon willing to hurt you to save your life. Brethren, we are not ignorant concerning the devices of the devil. The number one in the world we're living in right now is political correctness. If you think it's just a cliche, it's not. They have gagged Christians around America and the world under this powerful weapon. And I've seen hundreds of Christians succumb to it. Listen, that's a demonic ploy that we want nothing to do with. And I denounce today as a ploy of the devil, not just politicians. They might carry out his will as some of them carry out God's will, like our president. But I must say that is the number one issue that I wanted to deal with right up front before we get any other ideas. If we are to be the salt of the earth, we must speak out. And if we're going to speak out, we can't be gagged. If we're going to say what God needs said so that people will come to repentance and have eternal life and not be made accountable from God because of the people that went to hell that He put in our way to save them, but we were too afraid. God is saying He needs an army of people. It's time for God's army to stand up, wake up, get out of this slumber state, and put on the armor of God, which is powerful to bring down the strongholds. Number two, the next wiles, the next device, the next tactic, the next insidious plan of the devil that I'd like to touch on is that in our modern world, the enemy's tactic is to ruin a society. How? Very simply, by having men become more like women and women more like men. How does he get this movement started? Easy. He creates a woman liberation movement. When he wanted to bring destruction and death into the world, who did he start with? Who was the easiest to deceive? So what are his tactics going to be? And how will they be any different now than they were then? He's going to begin with a tactic that looks good on the outside. Because women have been mistreated for so many years by so many violent men and by so many nations, some which even till today treat them as dogs and worthless as individuals. That's the other end of the spectrum. That's what happens in nations that are controlled and ruled by the devil. But when the devil wants to get nations that aren't controlled and ruled over them, he'll go after women. And create a women liberation movement, which on the outside looks great because they're being liberated from all of this suppression. But what are they liberated from? Can I just say that in Genesis 1 verse 27, God created humans to be like himself, and he made men and women, not he, she's, and she, he's. God didn't just make a mixed gender out there and hope that it turned out pretty good. You don't have it's born. There are no it's. God created man and woman, period. Threw away the molds. He didn't want anything else. He didn't want anything different. In Genesis 5, verse 1 and 2 says, God created men and women and made them to be like himself. He gave them his blessing and called them human beings. So let me repeat that. God created men. God created women. God didn't create anything else. Through this woman's liberation movement, the devil has managed for women to take the place of men, become equal with them. They assume the role of leaders, providers, the strength of character. They even dress like them. They wear their hair like them. They act like them. Many women even go through gender changes to represent how they see themselves and even go through hormone replacement therapies to make it happen. So when they become men, men no longer like them. Men have and are becoming emasculated, effeminate, and some even dress like them, wear their hair long and flowing like a woman, go through gender change to represent how they feel about themselves, and even go through hormone replacement to make it happen. So now we've got an indistinguishment that has lasted for ages that we need to put school books out for kids to teach them that a woman isn't really a woman and a man isn't really a man. You really don't know who's who, and they're all it. And you're supposed to accept it. Under political correctness, you're not supposed to come against this. Don't be the salt of the earth, whatever you do. Lose your savor. Lose your bite. Lose what makes society flavorful and beautiful as God intended it to be. Now she, he, women, are attracted to women who have not changed their nature and are truly feminine. And he, she, men, are attracted to men who have not changed their nature and are truly masculine. Hence, lesbians and homosexuals everywhere. Be not ignorant to the devices of the devil to destroy a society and bring them under the wrath of God rather than his great plan of salvation. The plan of the devil is to take people as far away from God's plan of salvation as possible. If you think this is a joke, you don't have any clue what's happening in the world that surrounds you. And unless our armor is on, to begin with the helmet on our head, if you don't start thinking right with the mind of Christ and the way God thinks, you're going to be swept away with the thinking and even have apathy and empathy for these people living like they are and invite them in your churches. I'm all about inviting these kind of people in your churches to get them saved. But once they're saved, God's idea is to fill them with the Holy Ghost, which will radically transform their life. Not to keep them in your church for 20 years living like they live without any changes in their life. Brother, you can't preach this way. This could offend and hurt people. Well, good. If it hurts their feelings and gets them to heaven, I've gained a friend. If we don't speak out and become silent under the first and major device of the devil, he's got to gag us first. To allow society to think this is right. The school books is teaching our kids this is right. God says it's wrong. Whose report will you believe? Are we standing for God? Are we all afraid because of political correctness of being seen wrong or not liked or kicked out of school or whatever the case might be? Jesus said, if you will live godly in this world, if you will speak out for what I speak and live for what I live, you will be persecuted. The world will hate you. We don't hate the world. Now I'd like to move on to a third tactic of the enemy, because we're not to ignore his devices. Further tactic of the enemy is for politicians today, many of whom are perverted in their own minds and lifestyles, so they write and pass into law immoral decrees legalizing what God forbids. Please note, this does not mean that God has quit loving these sinners and won't forgive these overt atrocities. But there must be true repentance in allowing the Holy Spirit to change them and turn them back to the true moral values God has established. Neither has God licensed saints who have not perverted themselves to hate or make fun or discriminate against these human beings. What did I just say? I just say that God hates the sin but loves the sinner. God doesn't go along, neither did he give license to people who are living right and godly lives to make fun of, criticize, to mock them and make them feel bad and preach against them. We're not preaching against these people that are caught by the devil in a world that's going to eternally destroy them. We're wanting to reach them with the truth and love for them to leave that lifestyle, come to God. No one can leave that lifestyle that's already caught in it. Nobody can leave sin without the Holy Ghost empowering them to do so. We need to bring them to the cross to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God who lives in them and has the power to change them, and then let God do it at His pace and at the pace of the believer rather than accusing them or criticizing them for not growing fast enough. Some Christians are 40 years old and have the development of a 3-year, 4-year old. And other Christians are 4 years old and they have the development of 40 year old Christians. The speed has nothing to do with it. The fact that they have made a choice for God against the other, and then comes a long path to forsake it. So we must be patient. We're not criticizing people. We're making clear the devices of the devil. We're letting the world and the church know just exactly what all of this is about. And you're either on one camp or in the other. There is no in between. God wants us to be the preserving salt of the earth and denouncing these abnormalities as the wickedness of sin and speak for the truth. Doesn't matter what it buys you. Doesn't matter what it tells you. Just be careful to be loving that person when you're telling him what is wrong. But also make sure that you don't hold back and tell them just exactly what the price for what they're doing will be when their life is over. David, the king of Israel, prophesied of Jesus in Psalm 45:7 that he would love righteousness and hate wickedness. That is why his God has anointed him with the oil of gladness more than his companions. It is not wrong to hate wickedness and to stand up for what is right. Another one of Satan's devices is to deceive many Christians and evangelical churches into voting for parties and politicians that don't mind passing immoral laws to kill innocent unborn children, among other wicked laws. The enemy hides his hideous purpose behind the get ahead or the get rich schemes. People selfishly vote for their party, the one that offers them the most advantage personally for selfish reasons. They are willing to look the other way when their vote means that millions of little babies are going to be killed and blood is going to splatter the earth and curse it for us. They're willing to look the other way for 30 pieces of silver to bring to death innocent blood like they did with Christ in the day where he lived. So this brings me to the fourth thing I'd like to speak on. The enemy has formed a large group of people that are God haters. Why do I say God haters? Let me define a God hater. In 1 John 4, verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21, this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his fellow human also. This includes unborn human embryos and infant children at birth. In 1 John 5:2, by this we know that we love, and I'm putting here the born and unborn, children of God. When we love God and keep his moral commandments, commandments like thou shalt not kill. In Matthew 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. God is very clearly saying, truly saying, that if you don't love life, you hate God, because God is life. God is saying that if you don't have enough love for a fellow servant to vote for those who they're going to protect their life, you are a criminal together with the other and hate God. So for all the Christians out there that vote for their own little happiness and momentary bliss of a little bit of cash in their hands, I am speaking to you. I am saying that your selfish, pathetic ways are bringing others to the end of their life before they get a chance to live it. I am saying today that you hate God, who is life, because you won't stand for God when he's on earth in a human being. If you do not love a child of God, you hate God. You cannot say you love God and hate his children. You cannot say you love life and then vote for their life to be terminated. It's impossible to serve two masters. One is the master of death. The other is the master of life. Choose you who you will serve. who you will go with, what you will stand for, who you will vote for at the booth when the time comes. Listen, we need to quit being shabby Christians and begin to live what God says. If the salt has lost its savor, we have come to a place as a church where we have lost our savor. We're afraid to talk. We have let this gag of political correctness come upon us, and we're afraid to say what God says. We're afraid to even quote the Bible. We're afraid to even stand alone out there when everybody, even our Christian brothers, aren't even standing around us to help us and leave us alone with a mob. But this beyond your conscience. I am dumbfounded that in our godly Bible state, we almost lost our last election for governor to a hyper-God-hating, baby-killing abortionist, and a great number of Christians in our state voted contrary to God's will and word. That is why my announcement, wake up, church, become the salt of the earth, stand for God, choose life. We are the salt of the earth. We are the ones that God put in society to keep it from bringing curses upon the land. That's why God said, pray for the land that I put you in. Wherever the Jews were, God spoke to them and said, pray for the land, even when you're taken into captivity in Babylon, pray for the land, because if you pray for their blessing, it will also bless you. We can't shed innocent blood and have it curse the land of America and not have it affect us, because the curse is the one in the land I'm living in. And I will stand for the truth to bring life and blessing and not curses and hatred in our land. And the church needs to become united as the salt of the earth. You might think, well, in his voice he just has hate. No, I stand for the truth. If there is hate, it's for evil, for wickedness, for the things that are destroying our society, for sleeping as a church and not being awake and not being aware of the wiles of the devil. In Isaiah 59:7, their feet run to evil. They make haste and shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction is in their path. In Joel 3:19, Egypt shall be a desolation and Edom desolate wilderness because of violence, for they have shed innocent blood in their land. In Deuteronomy 19:10, let not innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed shall be upon you. In Numbers 35:33, I, the Lord, live among you people of Israel, so your land must be kept pure. But when a murder, including late-term abortion, I put, takes place, blood pollutes the land, and it becomes unclean. If that happens, the murderer must be put to death, so the land will become clean again. Keep murder out of Israel. Keep murder out of the United States of America. Passing laws against late-term abortion is legalizing infanticides and the doctors who perform them, as they hide behind these iniquitous laws that are immoral before God, are murderers. And as far as I'm concerned, also those who kidnap and abduct and traffic children for the purpose of committing child sacrifices for power and authority should be counted as murders as well. And as far as I'm concerned, perhaps God's remedy for baby, infant, and child killers around the world should be implemented, as he said in Numbers 35, i.e. be put to death. Then there would not be all this shedding of innocent blood. Am I advocating for capital punishment? No, I'm just the salt of the earth advocating what God said. Well, that's Old Testament, brother. God doesn't kill people today. Well, I'm telling you one thing right now. He might not be killing people, but they are killing themselves. Because the moment you sign somebody else's life off the earth, you've just signed a death sentence over yourself. And even if God has to wait till you lived your 90 years or even more, like some people I know that are so wicked in the world, you are going to die and you are going to be served your eternal sentence of everlasting punishment. Because God will not be mocked by his word. And God's word cannot return to him void without accomplishing what he said. So you will surely die. Wake up, church. We are so mesmerized by the devil that we just flow along with it and refuse to let our voice be heard because we're afraid of the consequences. Lately, the news is reporting many discoveries of large group of child traffickers here and around the world for the purpose of sex exploitation and child life blood being sacrificed and poured out on altars of Baal around the world. Alarming numbers of people of notoriety in politics, evangelical churches, Catholic churches, and even the Pope himself, among other high-profile individuals like ex-presidents of the U.S. and leaders in other countries are implicated in these circles of child for sex trafficking and infant or child sacrifices on Satan's Baal altar. Innocent blood still cries out to God as it did in the case of Abel when Cain murdered him. Another scheme of the devil is to form a multitude of global elitists with a satanic agenda of preparing for the Antichrist world dominance and the power to stop at nothing less than to achieve it for themselves. These global elitists get their power from Satan through shedding of innocent blood, hence so many embryos being killed and infant and child murderings and child sacrifices with their blood flowing over their altars to empower themselves. They want to get the power and authority through the shedding of innocent blood of God's creatures. They're allowing Satan to rule through them to destroy God's creation. The true Christian's power, should we choose to exercise it, is far greater, as we are granted our authority and power through the shedding of a far superior innocent blood, the blood of God Himself, through the willing sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. You talk about power. We have far more power by exercising the power that God gives us through the blood of Jesus. Power to overcome sin, the power to overcome the devil, and the power to overcome the world. I just want to say that again. This is the fifth point I'd like to mention. And that is that the scheme of the devil is to create a multitude of global elitists with a satanic agenda. Once the devil created a global elitist, His plan included shadow governments and people in high-level places of government working underneath the radar, here and in many nations of the world. The first agenda that Satan has given them is that of thinning out the population of the world because it's too difficult to control that many people. So the enemy has created a large group of these global elitists that hide in shadowy government and plot to thin out the world's population. The enemy plants in their minds the macabre plans of reducing the populations of the earth through civil wars, major wars in other countries, world wars, through abortions, child sacrifices, genetically modifying food to resist pesticides and chemicals that destroys people's guts and life and health, developing pharmaceutical drugs with life-killing side effects, protecting non-legal, addictive, and killing narcotic drugs like fentanyl, which is the latest, to destroy as many people of the populations of the world as possible. These global elitists need to do other things to be in control of the population as well. So the devil fills their minds with plans that we can't ignore. God says we know the wiles of the devil. You are living in a world where everything I am mentioning is taking place. We are living in a world which, if we continue to doze off and sleep without saying anything and waking up the church, we will find ourselves destroyed with it. People and preachers around the world are alarmed at how many Christians are sick and dying with diseases because of Satan's plan to systematically destroy and make you sick. Their other scheme is to bring all medical-related things under their control, government insurance. People will do anything to save their life. This is how they are able to force abortion funding, how they're able to obligate chip implanting into newborn infants. Under the medical control, euthanize old people when they get to a place where they think their condition is irreversible. Well, at what point is a person's condition irreversible? When so many people have died, including people who are atheists and God-hating people who had encounters with God on the other side, were brought back again. What if they were euthanized and had no chance to come back and repent and do it over again? Give them something for their pain and let God choose when they go or don't go. If they can put Christians under the medical care of government, they can choose what plans you get to cure you and which ones don't. That's why they are not under the same plans all the populations are. Because they don't plan to thin out the government, they plan to thin out the population. They can deny you treatments that they get all day long. Everything has to pass through government as to if you get a treatment or not anymore. It's not the doctors, it's not your personal doctor who likes you and your family doctor who gets to decide. There's other interests, demonic, satanic interests through these elitists that stand in the place of God on earth. Because that's what Satan is looking for. He's preparing for the Antichrist where he stands as God on the earth and took the earth away from God. But I have news for Satan today. God will stand on Jerusalem and he will rule and reign on the earth. And his end will be an eternal lake of fire. And the earth he will never see, because the earth he stepped on and polluted will be burnt with fire till there's nothing of a memory left of it. And God will create a new heaven and a new earth on which he will reign supreme forever and ever, Mr. Satan. They will pollute the earth through same-sex marriages. Why? To continue their macabre plan of eliminating and limiting population. Because same-sex marriages can't produce children. So they want as many of them as possible. They would rather two-thirds of the earth were men with men and women with women, same-sex marriages, so that there'd be no more children. In some cases, laws are passed that are even more hideous than that. Liberal judges are awarding state custody infant and children to ill-qualified and same-sex couples instead of well-qualified heterosexual couples. There are evil, satanic-filled judges in our earth which are awarding state-given children, and they love to get a hold of Christian children whose parents have misbehaved a little bit, and the law has a right to take away their child, because they will put that child in a same-sex marriage home so it grows up without any knowledge of God and has no chances of making it. But God is greater than Satan will ever hope to be. That doesn't mean we can't be a voice like mine tonight to denounce the ways of Satan, because we know his devices and we must be the salt of the earth. So note, God loves all human beings. He loves even these kind of people that live this kind of life and have made those changes in their life. But he hates and denounces the sin of homosexuality, lesbianism, sex change, and same-sex marriages. And so should we. He sent his son to die on their behalf in order to freely forgive their sin, if repented of. Another tactic of the devil, through these global elitists, is to bring as many as possible under world banking system of loans and debts. That's why there was a cry many years ago from God throughout the church to get out of debt, live today. Why is God doing this? Because he wants us to get out of Satan's trap in this world of forcing us under loans and credits. Every purchase is accounted for this way through credit cards and mortgages and loans, and they start to wrap their tentacles around your total finances. If they can choke off your finances, they can stop you from living on the earth, as the Antichrist has already been prophesied to do someday. They are slowly moving toward the infamous implanting of a chip with GPS and track location, with all personal ID and records of every purchase and every place you go and things you do. This is how they gain control of the population in other ways but thinning it out. Secondly, their goal is not to make America great again economically. That is against their purposes. They have to bankrupt the system so we can't pay the debt back and can now be under their control. That is why they have worked up an unsustainable $21 trillion debt in our country. Their goal is also to bring the nations of the world into unsustainable debt, so now the World Bank can then dictate the norms and laws that will govern these countries. And guess what their go-to law that they force on all these countries that are insolvent? It's the laws of abortion and same-sex marriages that they are pushing in the whole world. Their practice ground is the USA, the EU, and Latin American countries. And it's all too obvious to deny. The next major point I'd like to make is still another satanic tactic through these global elitists is to eliminate the sovereignty of countries and replace their founding constitution for another one made by them. They can then eliminate the sovereignty of nations as the EU has done with other former nations when it joined itself with them, and the US is trying really hard under the deep state shadow government and almost accomplished it during the Obama scourge. When or if they can, they will surrender it to a new constitution of the United Nations that will have been prepared by the globalists for the whole entire country. Now note, God is halting this today. For a season, God has put a stop to the timeline of Satan to give the church a chance to wake up, to repent, to start bringing the light and salt of God to our countries. And so I call out to God's preachers, to God's Christians around the world, wake up and stand for God. Speak out. Let everyone know what's happening. Don't just think about it. Know. God wants us to know. You say, why do we talk so much about the devil? God wants us to know what he is doing so we can wake up. We are the army he has in place. We are the ones that when God wipes this thing out, in a massive move of revival across the world that will embark millions. God needs an army. 10 evangelists isn't enough. No matter how many million people come to their crusades, God needs the church. At this last time, when God wipes away the devil's plan for a season to put him back, he'll need the church. Why is God giving us a recess? Why did God put a delay in the timeline? God did not stop it because the prophecies will be fulfilled that the Antichrist will reign. But God is going to take the true bride to be with him, and we may see it from the other side, but we will never be in it. God has put a delay in the timeline to give us a chance to wake up and become the voice of God, because he needs a church to bring in a massive revival to prepare as many millions of Christians as possible so that he fills heaven and the mercy seat has prevailed over as many as possible. That would be. I believe God is preparing the greatest revival the world has ever known that will reach the nations and reach billions of people, and he will need every one of us. And if we're in a state of just uncommotion, he needs locomotion. God needs us in motion, period. God needs us to stand up and begin to speak. First of all, you need to know what to speak. So God is telling us what to speak. He is showing us what to say. He is showing us how the devil is silently and underhandedly working in shadows. But we can see him in the shadows because we are children of the light. And children of the light can see in areas of darkness. But God wants us to go a step further and not only see it and be aware of it, but go into the darkness and bring the light into it. Bring the light of the gospel. Bring the light of salvation. Bring the light of the glory of God. Bring the light of the mercy seat to bear on millions of souls that are being wrapped up in this demonic ploy, this satanic in origin, preparing himself the rulership of a world he will never really get to rule. I will mention one more. Yet another satanic ploy and plan through the shadowy group of elitists around the world that's his favorite go-to people that do his will around the world is to seduce and incorporate the church to bring it under their control. The people in the church who resist will be persecuted and imprisoned as true Christians. Why? Because they fear true Christians. Because they can be activated and empowered at any time by the Holy Ghost and become a challenge to their whole system. One man can bring a whole government down as our president of the United States of America, who single-handedly against the entire world fights alone with God. If the church continues to hide and become disconnected as not to get in trouble or as not to shake this political correctness in their face, the trouble's going to come anyway. Because this is what Jesus said, and this is where we started the message today. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, it will be thrown away, and it will be trampled on. Listen, we have allowed the government to come into the church. We have allowed them to incorporate us. We've allowed them to control us. We've allowed them to have a say in what we do. And what are we seeing them do? They're trampling on us. How? They're sending same-sex couples to us and forcing pastors to marry them. If you don't, there's court cases around the United States. Even if bakers don't bake a cake for somebody or whatever, we're starting to see this all over the United States, and you'll see it all over the world. This is what he is doing. If the church will not stand up and speak for what it is and get out from under government control and get out from incorporations and get out from under the control of government, they will come in here and they can tell you what you do or what you don't, because there's going to have to be pastors that say no and pay the consequences. God said you will be trampled on if you won't be a salt with savor. If you will not stand against it, speak against it, and get out of the system, it will trample you. It's worthless. You're worthless in God's army. He said it's worthless as some you'd throw on a dunghill. Your salt's worthless to God and man. You cannot stand in the army of God and fight. Yeah, we can pray behind the scenes. We need to pray behind the scenes and take our prayer to the public. We need to take our message public. We need to love on sinners enough to tell them the truth. Because someday they're going to stand in our face and tell us, why didn't you tell us the truth? Well, because we're afraid of the consequences. Really? Shame on us for being afraid of consequences. If you save your life, you'll lose it. We're going to have people someday look at us crying saying, why didn't you tell me? Of course there's going to be people who we have told, who refused, but then we'll be able to tell them, we did tell you, we were a voice, but you silenced it. You got your people to make laws to silence us, but we even spoke in spite of it and paid the price for it. Now you are paying the price for your own sin, and your blood isn't on my shoulders. I'm not saying we're to walk out there in the world and be a nuisance. That's not what I'm saying. The first place we need to start being salt is at the ballot. It can't be that we came that close in a Bible Belt state to voting in a God-hater. You say, they're Christians or they're Catholics. I don't care what they are. They're God-haters. According to the Word of God, they're God-haters. If they stand for abortion, they're God-haters. Does God love God-haters? Of course He does. He loves them so much He wants them to repent and quit doing what they're doing. Run as a conservative, pro-life. Run as someone that's not shadowy underneath, taking our country down into pieces and destroying it so we all become dependent on the government for our money, for our health, and for everything else. Meanwhile, you're killing us softly with all your food and with all your drugs. Why don't they want a wall on the border? It's simple. They want that stuff coming in and killing people. They need to thin out America. And what they want to do is, America is the most Christian country in the world. They want to destroy as many Americans as possible and abort as many American children as possible. This is a call to the church to wake up. Look, this isn't about politics. I said before I started, I was going to preach on something totally unusual and uncommon for me. I don't speak about politics and much less about the devil and his plans. I'm far more concerned with God's plans. I'm always talking about God. I'm always talking about Jesus. You know that. But the Lord challenged me to be salt with savor, to stand up and say what I need to say regardless of what the consequences might bring, whose feelings I might hurt. And to say it like it is. To bring to the light the things that the devil works in darkness. Because once the devil's plans that work so well in darkness get exposed, he loses power. Once you bring to the light the things that the devil works with a lot of power in darkness, once you bring light to it, it's like he loses traction. We need to do that. We're in a war against his wickedness. This world belongs to the Lord. This world is my world, saith the Lord. He made it. He created it. He put everything that's on the planet. It belongs to him. And the devil's a thief and a liar, and he steals and destroys and does everything he does so well. He'll get what he got coming. Believe me, he will. Don't laugh when it comes. I've learned to have some compassion in my heart, even for those that do hateful, hideous things. And that's the attitude we need to have to all of these people who are trapped in a web of deception. Don't laugh at them. Don't make fun of them. That's not our place. Our place is to love them into the kingdom but to denounce the evil of its ways. And so stand with me in this love for humans and this hate for their wickedness and the outspokenness of truth. Listen, God's coming back for the church. He's coming back for people that are in it, that are alive toward God and found still in Christ. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. You said it would be like a hammer that breaks the stone. And you said that it would be like a sword that pierces. Father, let us be a united front. Let us have a heart to know, perceive, and understand the things that are the Spirit of God. I ask you to awaken a sleeping church. Cause us to stand for that which is right, that which is truth, and to stand for that which is you. I ask you, Father, to expose the wiles of the devil. All of his tactics, all of his insidious ways and plans. Strip the facade. Remove the blinds. In the mighty name of Jesus, inform us on your awesome power to deliver your people in the world to as many as will. In a mighty move of your Spirit to turn this thing around. But how can it be turned around if there are not those that speak out? Let us not be afraid to speak out. Let us not be afraid to be the salt of the earth. Let us not be afraid, Lord, in any way, to speak the truth, regardless of the consequences. Let us not just believe in something and then hide in a cave, but come out and speak to Ahab like Elijah did. And like John the Baptist with the spirit of Elijah would speak directly to Herod and tell him what for and what is right and what is wrong. We need voices in the earth, Lord. They will stand for truth and stand for you. Make clear the paths of the Lord. You say for us to make clear, to make a way for the Lord, to prepare the way of the Lord. Father, there's a lot of things that we've come to accept in our generation. Which are wrong. Expose the devil in all his ways. Cause us not to be a part of this. Cause us not to vote for this. Cause us not to stand for this. Cause us not to hide in a closet, nor hide our light under a bushel, or to lose the savor of our salt. To lose the savor of our salt is basically to hold the truths of God to ourself. You put us in this world to speak for you. We have all become priests and kings. We are preachers of righteousness. As Enoch and Noah, their calling might not have been to fill pulpits and start churches, but their calling was to tell people clearly that sin is sin, rebellion is rebellion, wickedness is wickedness. And it will be visited by God by either mercy for the repentant or judgment for the hardened. And we must speak out, Lord. We must take a stand in our own heart first and in our own immediate families and in your family. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And thank you for clarity of mind. I thank you, Father, for revealing all the tactics and insidious plans of the devil. And then, Father, make clear your way by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.